What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television. This message must resound throughout the entire interlink. I want this country to realize that we stand on the edge of oblivion. I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
Who the fuck is with this guy? Who is he?
I'm your huckleberry.
The decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Everybody knows you never go full retard. You went full retard, man.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on you. If you fool me, we can't get fooled again.
So you smart, huh?
No.
I thought your hair would be bigger.
It says on your chart, you're fucked up. You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded.
So just chill out. You know, drink a 7-Up. Eat a moon pie. Quit murdering people.
You have smoked yourself retarded.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to the Monday Night Master Debaters, the best night of the week. I'm pumped because it's WrestleMania week, and I have two heavyweights here tonight, along with Ryan.
I am a real American.
Great discussion here. We have, and listen, I don't listen to a ton of podcasts anymore, but the three guys here, I listen to every one of their shows. Sam, I gotta say, you and Jimmy Dore are the two people I listen to the most for anything political. You guys crush it with the combination of satire, humor, and facts. Just putting their own, I love how you guys take clips from them and use them against them. It's their own words, and It's such a beautiful thing. So, welcome, Sam. Sam Winchester, well, from According
thank
to
you.
Sam.
I was supposed to be on the show in July. It didn't work out, and I really am glad that we got to get together tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we had the, the 4th of July extravaganza planned.
Yeah, my girlfriend had a surprise birthday party, and she didn't want to tell me about it, and it was on that day, and it didn't work out. But I'm glad to be here today.
I want to say thank you. Your show is outstanding, man. I really do. I respect the work that you do, the way you put it out. And I'm really excited for you to get a video show going, too, because that's
coming.
Just going to take it to the next level.
It's coming, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah. Andrew.
What's going on?
How we doing, my friends?
Just aging. Aging.
What's going
gracefully.
On in the punk rock world, mixed with a little bit of politics?
Oh, wow. You know, fearing my coming death from the vaccine, possibly, and trying to find holistic natural remedies to fight that spike protein. My muscles are tightening up on me. I'm massaging it right now, if you can see here. I'm just getting older and I'm falling apart, man. Good times.
Dude, we were talking about that, and you don't really notice it when you're young. Once you hit like 35, you don't notice it, but it starts happening. And then when you get to 40 is when you start noticing those little things. Yeah. Oh, and holy shit, they add up, man. Like you said, it's just a little muscle. And next thing you know, I'm in the ER, or I think I'm having a heart attack.
This happened to me recently. Exactly verbatim what you just said. Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable.
Aside from that, as far as punk rock bowling's coming up soon in Vegas. All the bands are announcing their tours right now, both here in the States and overseas. So get out and see a show, people, while you still can, before the next virus lockdowns start for showing sure. up. So
yeah.
I was saying that today about what's going on in France and in Israel too.
Oh yeah.
Because if you remember the summer of 2019, we had Hong Kong going on, there was protest in France again. They had the yellow vest, that was the yellow vest protest back then. And it was just all this unrest in 2019. And then we had COVID-19 that followed that. So, and then I was just watching what's going on in Israel and France, and it's just crazy right now.
It's almost like they have a playbook that they keep repeating over mm-hmm. and over and over again, you know? And yeah. That's what it's amazing. And some, like you said, Sam, how do some people not see it? That's the part that just blows my mind, is that there are some people that are still, and I'm not saying it's one side or the other, because it's heavy on both sides. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem. You have these far sides out there that are just stuck in the ground. They're holding they planted their flag. They're living and they're dying by it. They will support until the day they die, no matter what their captor does to them. So
yeah,
it's amazing.
I remember a few years ago there was this really popular video that and it went from it was all about quantum physics. Remember The Secret? You guys remember The Secret?
Oh yeah,
yes.
The Secret, and it was all about the law of attraction. That was what the Secret was about, and it was hugely popular. And people were this law of attraction idea was that I'm only going to focus on what's positive, and I'm going to bring positivity in my life. And anything that's negative, I'm going to ignore that, because the law of attraction says that if I focus on negativity, then I'm going to bring negativity in my life. So there's this kind of metaphysical mentality that people have, that if I don't think about the bad stuff, then the bad stuff's just gonna go away. You know what I mean?
It's magic. Right. It's magical.
That's kind of what you do, how you see spirituality, right? Oh, that whole push and all of that. It's like, yeah, it's all happiness and great stuff, and nothing ever goes wrong. You can manifest anything you want.
As long as I think happy thoughts, then happy things are going to happen. I think there's a lot of people who think that.
It's very self-centered too, the whole spiritual movement, you know? So, and one thing I was trying to say before we started recording, when you were talking about like how people just trust the government over and over again, it's almost like Stockholm syndrome, like you were saying, Matt. It's like the most dysfunctional relationship that a man and woman could possibly have, right? Like where you know that this person's cheating on you and they've hit you and they've done all this stuff, but it's like, I just can't leave them. I just can't step away. And that's exactly what this is, man. We see it with so many different people. It's not limited to party. It's not limited to anything. It's just
a human
there,
condition. It's a human condition, really. I think it's just like what P.T. Barnum said about there's a sucker born every minute. You know, if you're the type of person who wants to take advantage of the suckers, there's going to be plenty of them out there for you to take advantage of. And there always has been.
Always will be. Always will be.
Yeah, and it's that cult mentality, too. That willingness to just blindly believe and obey, which is scary among some people and too many people, because we saw it the last couple of years, how many people just went along with whatever nonsense they threw out there, no matter how much data you brought.
There's something else too, and that's what I was in my last podcast talking about, how we got into Iraq and how It was all predicated on 9/11. So the people, the elite, they know how to use tragedy to make us more malleable, to where they can use a tragedy to achieve, like Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. And that's just a crisis that maybe, you know, comes out of nowhere that you have no control of. But I think that they have managed to control crises, to basically hit us with these control crises. And then once we're malleable and disoriented because we just got hit with this crisis, then they can come in and do whatever they want.
It's the base of MK Ultra. It's a, you know, it's shocking somebody, traumatizing somebody, mm-hmm. and then they look for guidance. And the school system creates those people too, man. Like, it makes it so that you respect authority. And as an adult, you're still going to grow up and you're still going to want to be told what to do in a chaotic situation by daddy government, dude. Like, mm-hmm. that's what they do.
Well, and you watch the news and what is it? It's all death, destruction, fear, right? And we get into this and it does, you look at what they're doing and it's, like Sam said, it's almost like they're orchestrated one after another. If it's not trains, it's banks. If it's last year, it was the airlines, it's water, it's this, it's that. And they just hit you from so many angles that, like you said, Sam, some of these people feel like they just cover their eyes and say, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. I'm going to, you know, and they're just going to ignore it. And eventually the bad man will leave. And it's like, no, the bad man's just going to keep twisting tighter and tighter and tighter until you yell ouch and push back a little bit. Then they might think about what they're doing. But until then, we are. And it was funny because one of the things I was thinking about opening up here with was just this, the lyrics to Ozzy's song War Pigs.
Oh, nice.
Great song.
Because you read the lyrics and it's so true. It's generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses, evil mm-hmm. minds that plot destruction, sorcerers of death's construction. In the fields, the bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. And then they say right here, politicians hide themselves away. They only started the war. Why should they go out and fight? They leave that role to the poor. Time will tell on their power minds, making war just for fun, treating people like pawns in chess. Wait till their judgment day comes. Now you think about that. That's Ukraine right there, right? Like just treating them like pawns, or Iraq, you know, name a war. And then, now in darkness, the world stops turning ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. Hand of God has struck the hour. You know, it's, whew, if that doesn't really sum up the way these people look at us and how they handle what's going on, I don't know.
It's a brilliant song. It's a brilliant song. And I mean, and it's been in all of human history, that's all we have known is war and conflict. And that's why that song is so apropos. I mean, especially for someone, I mean, Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, they are European, they're English. I mean, no one on this planet, I think, has known more war than the European continent. And I mean, that's the theater of war even today. But I mean, those people have known war for, you know, centuries. And that's just, I mean, the way that things are. But it's always, I mean, even when you look at the feudal period, you know, you had lords and kings taking, you know, the serfs who just happened to live on the land that they own. And when these, you know, noble people, when they decided that they wanted to go to war, then they would take the poor people to war with them. You know, the serfs had to go and fight for their lord. And that's just the way that it's been, you know, forever. So I think that song, and always have thought that that song is just so brilliant. The lyrics, the way that that he lays it out, that it's basically the elite who start the war, but the poor end up fighting the war and they hide themselves from the war. So, yeah, I look at people like George Bush, who started the Iraq War, and I mean, he was, he came up during in the Air National Guard during the Vietnam War, but his father was able to get him out of fighting the war.
How convenient.
So, yeah. So, I mean, he doesn't go and fight, but at the same time, he sends other people out to fight. So, yeah. That's
11 million. Jeez. Dude, you know what's funny? Man, you bring up the Middle Ages and stuff, and like the feudal age. You wonder if like a few hundred years or a couple, you know, maybe a thousand years from now, that the history books are going to say that like Barack Obama was on the front lines and of the wars that he started, and same with Bush and same with Clinton.
He won a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. And like they, like their body count was super high. Cause you look at that meme right there and it's obviously, it's very literal, but they're not there actually killing people and doing the fighting. But if you, you almost wonder if these old generals and kings would actually fight alongside their men, well, like we're told they did.
I look at someone like Mitt Romney. This guy's got five sons, you know, and yeah, he's got five sons, and not a single one of his sons has ever served in armed forces. But I follow him on Twitter, and you look at the rhetoric of this guy. He is such a war hawk. I mean, he's all for, you know, increasing the war. Every senator, I mean, what's going on in the Senate, I think that that's a huge thing that needs to be discussed in our paradigm too, because you have the House of Representatives right now, and there's a lot of war hawks in the House of Representatives. But I think there's a, and I predicted this, if you guys been listening to my podcast, I predicted that there was going to be, as soon as Republicans took over the House of Representatives, there was going to be this huge push to stop the funding for the war in Ukraine, and that there was going to be an anti-war movement from the right. And that's where you see the anti-war movement going on with voters, not necessarily with the representatives that are in Congress. I think that what's going on in the Senate right now, most Republican senators do not reflect the wishes of Republican voters when it comes to Ukraine. And even in the House of Representatives, few of them do. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, they seem to be more worried about the TikTok ban in the House than, or like the, you know, proposed TikTok ban. I saw AOC just hopped on board with that, and she failed to mention that ByteDance donated $150,000 to the Latino Congress caucus, right? So it's just kind of strange that that's the focus right now for at least some of these high profile people there. But yeah, man, you don't hear anything like you wish that they would sit there and say, hey, like, we need to use these people's tax dollars the way that they want, right? They I haven't heard anyone talk about that, man. It's all just like, throw it at Ukraine. The
vice president just touring Africa right now, pledging hundreds of millions of dollars to Africa, while you know, we're just pledging money to everyone right now. Yeah, at home, we're, you know, inflation's through the roof. We're you know, just struggling. Our
infrastructure's failing. I mean, there's so much
destruction, it seems like.
Yeah. And that's why, Sam, what scares me is the fact that, yeah, you do see the rhetoric changing on and this aim to push to slow down the Ukraine funding and stop that. And obviously, I think that's going to be done prior to the elections. I don't think you can have that continuing out through. But what I do, what fears me, Matt, is what I see is now you start seeing, oh, well, now there's a hornet's nest getting stirred up in Syria conveniently. And we've always got Taiwan in our back pocket, that if we really want to piss off the Chinese, we can just go do something over there. And it seems like they have this never ending pool of options to get us into some conflict.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I don't know. This China thing. Now, the TikTok thing, I think that TikTok's kicking everybody else's butt when it comes to advertising, and they are gobbling up the lion's share of the market share. TikTok's owning it right now. So you have, if TikTok's owning the market share, and I have my lobbyists, and I work for Google, and I work for Facebook, I'm telling my lobbyists to go strong to oppose TikTok, if you have to use the fact that they're owned by a Chinese company, whatever you have to do, because they're kicking our butt when it comes to the market share. So I don't know how much of what's going on with TikTok has to do with the fact. Now, trust me, there's no way that I believe that the content in China on TikTok is the same content that we're getting here in the United States.
There's not by any means.
There's no way that. So I do think that there's some valid points made there. But I mean, this is a free speech issue. This is a First Amendment issue. Even if they do, or if they're able to ban TikTok, this is going to go through years of court before. And then what they want to do, they want to try to force them to sell it. But I ask myself, what's going on with this rhetoric with China when the Bidens are getting, you know, paydays from China is what the Gomer investigation is showing. We don't know what that money is for. You can't go to any store in the United States without seeing Chinese goods everywhere. You go to Walmart, you go to Home Depot, you know, anywhere, Chinese goods are everywhere. And then they own billions of dollars in United States treasuries. I mean, which if
they, and they're buying all the real estate, they're buying the real estate too.
So some
they
of
got us by the balls.
So some of this rhetoric about China, I am not believing that, you know, because it's like, I mean, they own a piece of the rock and they could really hurt us if they wanted to.
Oh yeah.
So that just makes me think, you know, this may be just a little game that they're playing. I have no idea. What do you guys think?
I think they can play as many games as they want because they're very close to owning everything of ours, all of our debt, all of our real estate. They're kicking our ass in AI. Remember when I was talking about those two guys from the joint Artificial Intelligence Commission, one of my episodes where I played their press conference and they were just selling the government to try to get more government contracts to dump into AI so that they could be competitive on the world stage because they're saying China is going to be dominant in like 5 to 10 years. So I think we're literally afraid of China, I think is what it seems like. And I think Biden might be in their pocket. So that's not helpful.
That's the point that I'm making, Andrew, is that I think that Biden's in their pocket. And I think that we're being sold out by people here in the United States that saw the shift, that they predicted that the shift was going to go to the East and to China. So they started to invest in that. And even though they're putting themselves out and saying we're against China and all, it's all a little game because they're invested in what they saw was going to be the future 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And what is China doing right now? China's going around and brokering peace deals in Yemen, right? They're trying to work on Russia and
Saudi
Ukraine,
Arabia,
and get that
and Iran.
Yeah. All the same while, what are they doing? They're building bricks. Taking and trying to not eliminate the petrodollar, but they're getting the world off of the petrodollar and getting it
piece
to
by piece. Oh yeah,
yuan-based. Yeah, so it's like the slow destruction of the U.S. dollar. And yeah, like you said, Sam, I think our guys are like on the Titanic and it's sinking, and they're just playing their band music because they know they got rafts lined up for themselves.
That's a good analogy.
The rest of us are screwed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because they've had this, even Fareed Zakaria. I don't remember when that book came out that he wrote, Post-American World. But that's the name of the book. I think it came out in like 2007 or something. So they've been envisioning that we're in a post-American world for, you know, over a decade now. So if you are, you know, seeing that we're in a post-American world and you see the next big thing is going to be China, then I will start putting my chips, you know, it's just like you're on a roulette table, you know, I'm going to put my chips over here and I'm going to invest in there and still, you know, put up the appearance. I mean, what happened during COVID? As soon as COVID broke out, you had people like Nancy Pelosi and even Joe Biden going around saying Trump was he was xenophobic because he shut down flying from China because he said that the virus came from China, which is where it came from, that he was being a racist. And I remember Nancy Pelosi went down to Chinatown and says it's safe to come down to China. So it seems like at the same time they're telling you China is so bad that they seem to be invested in it, and they want us, you know, the people on the streets, to basically see China as this, you know, great enemy, while China's, you know, buying up all this farmland in the United States, invested in all of our treasuries, dumping all of their products on it. But you want us to believe that China's the big enemy. I'm sorry, I can't buy it.
Yeah, they definitely are in bed together. And it's not just the left either. You know, that Mitch McConnell's wife is the daughter of like the head of their version, like Lockheed Martin. You know what I mean? I forget her name off the top of my head. But yeah, it's the right and the left. But you get all the focus with like the whole Fang Fang thing with that one dipshit.
Swalwell.
Yeah,
dude. Oh, that guy's a piece of work.
Yeah, and just dumber than sin, it seems like. But, you know, you see it on both sides, man. It's really unfortunate, dude. But, yeah, I brought up TikTok just because it seems like that's a different kind of distraction, right? They're focusing on this ban. And the idea of it being part of freedom of speech, that's a valid argument for sure. But it seems like it's just a cancer on society. You see on TikTok.
What's funny about this, Rye, is these idiots that are holding a congressional hearing are grilling the whatever he is of CEO. TikTok.
He was the CEO.
Yeah, and they don't even know what TikTok is or how it operates. Mm. And it's watching these guys ask questions. They're asking some of the dumbest questions, first of all. And then they're acting like TikTok is this only app that's going to, you know, has problems with data privacy. Yet how many millions has Facebook paid out for data privacy violations and Google and this and that? So it has nothing to do with that. It's all what Sam said with they're kicking everybody's ass in advertising and nobody can keep up with them and they can't figure out how to get there. Like they won't give them a chance to get in. It's like their club and fuck you guys. They're the doormen and you guys can't get in. Tough shit.
Yeah. You wonder why they're so effective with it though. You know, how they're able to do what they do. Maybe it has something to do with the AI that Andrew's talking about. Then maybe they are just that far ahead with making these algorithms so highly addictive. But like also Sam was saying, they're not showing the same dysfunctional shit in China and in Russia. They're showing kids how to build businesses. 100%. And they're very productive, quick videos versus like if you scroll through here in the United States, it's like a circus, dude. Yeah, it's wild. So I feel like it's kind of motivating kids to do stupid stuff and to just do something viral, whether it's lick a toilet seat or whatever, right? Versus going and building a business in China, man. So it's very effective at what it does.
Can I say something about that? So, yeah. So what I was thinking about throughout the course of this entire conversation so far was if the average voter, let's just say, well, let's not give a specific demographic of age, but someone that's been alive long enough to at least have seen some of the shit and been paying attention to it, right? If the people that were alive to see the Republican Party being the war party and seeing the flip to the Democrats being the pro-war party in Ukraine, and if they can't see that flipping with that short period of time that's passed that all of us can clearly see, anyone that's been paying attention can see, then I don't think the future looks too bright. And since we're talking about why is the future not looking so bright and attention spans and being able to see 20, 30 years in the past or in the future, or at least think about it, all the AI and the computers and the tech and the TikTok and the Instagram that we're all talking about is the reason they gave us this technology, and it's shortening our attention spans. We can flip. Everything's disposable. Everything that you feel emotionally when you're scrolling. I mean, they are literally turning people into robot zombies, brainwashed automatons, and that's exactly what they want.
Yep.
Humanity to be, if they are going to move even closer to this new world order, this tech matrix world.
They put you in these groups, right, Andrew? And no matter what side of an argument you're on, you can find information that'll make you seem right or feel too, right.
And it's too easy to eject. It's too easy to just be like, oh, that's scary. Flip.
Yep.
I don't need to pay attention to that.
Yeah, because you go through. I mean, you look at Russiagate. You look at January 6th. You look at Twitter files. You look at the pandemic.
But that takes an attention span.
All of these things. And there have been cases that have been laid out, not as thoroughly in the media, but there has been enough that has come out to make you at least question things.
Oh, for sure.
And there's people that, like we've said, will blindly just ignore it, cover their eyes, and hope that it goes away. Mm. And run to the TV. Will save them.
Yep. Andrew, are you kind of talking about like the transhumanist agenda? Is that what you're saying? Like pushing us towards that?
Yeah,
because I've been looking at that a lot lately, and it's fascinating, man. Like the terminology that's used. You guys were mentioning spraying earlier, right? Like what we would call chemtrails. The transhumanist term for that is utility fog, right? And I just find that really interesting that they have these different terms of things that we're
language with. Shapes reality.
It's like Demolition Man, Rye, where they, they've just totally changed everything into a spin that makes it seem like the new stuff is good and the old stuff is icky.
Well, and it's like when we talk about chemtrails, they'll tell us that we're full of crap, right? They'll be like, no, there's no such thing as chemtrails. Meanwhile, in their heads, they're like, it's utility fog. They're
we change the name. Yeah, that's what happened with the guy, the
Newspeak.
The Pfizer doctor who Project Veritas, remember the black guy
who freaked out.
So he's the one who the first person I ever heard use the term directed evolution. So when Rand Paul was questioning Dr. Fauci, and he was like, were you paying for what was Rand Paul was calling it the what's the other word for it?
Eugenics, maybe. Function.
Well, no, it's
cloud seeding.
No, it's the science that they do with the gene with the viruses to.
It's like the genetic manipulation, but
CRISPR. There's another name for it, but. It's not directed evolution, but that's what the guy and Project Veritas, he called it directed evolution, and Rand Paul was calling it, I can't remember the name of it, but you're right. Changing the language is all part of it. That's what Orwell taught us, is the new speak, right. Just like Andrew was just saying, is that they're going to change the language. And first of all, if you don't have a working definition for a phrase or word, you're talking over each other. So that's a very effective tool that they're using.
Man, people are punching the air because we couldn't figure out that term right now, right? Like,
yeah,
whatever it was.
Listeners, someone's email yelling us it right now. Yeah,
but no, man. Like another one too is eugenics, right? We've heard that term thrown around a lot, and that's like improving future generations through actions that they're doing right now. And I found this term called euthenics, and that's improving the current generation, right? That's kind of what it seems like that jab was meant to do, and by improving, it's eliminating the ones that their genes can't handle all this stuff.
I got the word. So it was gain of function.
Yes.
Okay.
Rand Paul was asking him about gain of function, but the Pfizer guy called it directed evolution. Yep. So it's basically the same thing, but they were calling
that seems like a leap though. Altering a virus in order to make it gain the function of infecting humans. And then you leap to, we're going to literally tamper with the genome, we're going to play God, and we're going to direct evolution. That's a leap. That is a leap between those two.
They think that they're gods and like superheroes and stuff, man. Like they feel like they have the authority to do that.
That's the thing that's scary, Rye, is that they think they have the authority to do this to us. Like we're just test subjects, that we're supposed to just blindly take it and say, yes, sir, may I have another?
Right. Yeah, it's crazy, man. But Yeah, I've just been, it's interesting that how much that transhumanist talk fits in with a lot of stuff that's going on right now. It's just funny that you brought that up, man. Absolutely. I've just been looking into that a lot. So,
and I'm always torn on it, man. And I've kind of touched on this recently where I've been, you know, you guys probably know, like, I like to take anti some concept and like talk about it for a while, but maybe in the future I'll flip it and I'll be like, well, hey, let's take the pro this thing perspective. Yeah. Right. And I like to do that a lot. I like to do the inversion thing just for my own, you know, letting it swirl around and seeing what seems reasonable and what doesn't. Right. And with the transhumanism thing, the way they talk about it, they're so excited. They have all this enthusiasm on their World Economic Forum panels. And they're like, you know, oh, we're just going to put this little serial number tattoo right on your forearm and you can use it for everything. I mean, they make it sound like it's the Jetsons future we all thought we were going to see years ago, flying cars and all that bullshit, right? But when you really think about it, it's kind of like I liken it to socialism. Like, an idea on paper isn't always good in practice.
Well, it's like the Vax Pass, right?
You got to test it.
Digital ID.
Test your theory.
Right. Anything digital, stay away from. I mean, digital banking, that's like the scariest shit ever, because all it takes is one person to say, yep, you're shut off and you can't buy or sell or trade or do anything.
Yeah. I think they do a really good job doing the predictive programming, though, through the media, though, through the TV shows.
It's all connected.
The news. Yep. And yeah, so they write the script and you know, a really dramatic show or movie where they do the predictive programming and they get you to start thinking, well, maybe that wouldn't be so bad, you know? And then when they finally bring it to you, and then you're more accepting of it because you've already, you know, been given the concept in some TV show or movie that you've watched.
Bernays suggesting ideas.
Well, and they're connected to Netflix, right? Bernays, the Bernays family. And I mean, Hollywood's been the propaganda arm of like the CIA and you know, the deep state, for lack of a better term, forever, right? And now that's pivoting because Hollywood's dying.
Add Disney in there too, Rye.
Right. I would consider Disney part of Hollywood, but it probably is kind of its own entity in a way, right? Because they've gotten to be so massive. I think they're the biggest owner in media. When you look at like the six companies that own every damn, you know, media channel you've heard of.
But I think it goes even further back than that. Like, I don't believe that William Shakespeare was a real person. I personally believe that Francis Bacon and, these other elites.
The Merry Men, right? It was Francis Bacon and the Merry Men.
Exactly. They were using, you know, these scripts and Shakespeare and the world and the old globe to kind of shape the English culture at that time. So they were using it, doing this stuff before even Bernays. That's fair.
Yeah. It's just really easy to see with Hollywood, right? When you look at the movies and all this stuff.
For
but
sure.
It's pivoting now. It's pivoting to some high-profile podcast, meme accounts. I mean, that's another transhumanist way to represent ideas. It's a self-replicating idea is what a meme is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's wild. You know, like that freaking Bro Bible meme. Or no, not. There's some meme account where it's like they post goofy stuff all the time. But then when this war in Ukraine stuff started happening, all of a sudden they're posting serious stuff. And it's like, man, that's a little weird. You know what
it's
I mean?
AI. That's an AI account. That's an AI bot.
I
made that argument on a previous show. I was like in the middle of a thought and I was like, how do you guys know that I'm a real human being right now?
You're
listening to, talking and watching on this video. How do you know I'm not AI generated? And we talked about that in the past with the this person does not exist.com and the deep fake technology. I mean, they can.
Your camera is shaking a lot. Maybe you are fake. It's like gyrating. Do you see it?
Oh, my fan. Hold on.
No, man. Yeah, it's wild. I had a fan leaning against it.
Sorry.
No, I was just messing with you, dude. It's just it is interesting though that you can't really believe even things that you see, man, anymore.
Yeah, that's what's scary.
It was crazy when the war in Ukraine started and you started seeing, like, you would go to your your bank's website, and they would have a little, we support Ukraine, you know, Bank of America, you support
ESG.
What does that have to do with any? Yeah, well, it's like, what?
Sam, they did that in 2020 with BLM. With
Black Lives Matter. 100%.
Yeah, my son turned on his video game and a big BLM thing came. I'm like, what the hell is this?
And it support just the trendy cause, everybody jump on the trendy cause.
Everybody's on the same messaging when it came to BLM in 2020. And then when the Ukraine war started, I mean, it was just, everybody was on the same. People didn't even get a time to even process what was going on. Putin's invading Ukraine. Putin's bad, because they'd already established the fact that Putin is the reason that Donald Trump won in 2016. So we can immediately associate that with you know, Putin. And then they told everyone that Putin invaded Crimea. Putin did not invade Crimea. That's an absolute lie. I mean, but they conditioned everyone. I wonder how many Americans, and a lot of the cheerleaders for Ukraine, we got to support Ukraine. If you ask them about Euromaidan, can you tell me about Euromaidan and what happened in 2014 and what exactly went on there? None of them can tell you that.
And who's Victoria Nuland's, right?
No one can tell you any of that background history. Only thing that they can tell you, Russia bad and Ukraine's good, and we have to support Ukraine because they're they represent democracy. I mean, how the hell they represent democracy, I don't know, when they're, you know, banning the Orthodox church and all of their political enemies, but they represent democracy. And if you don't support Ukraine, you don't support democracy. Very effective.
And if Ukraine falls, the world falls, apparently.
That's the propaganda as well. Yeah.
Right. Like this insignificant nation, if that falls, democracy is dead as we know it. Like, what?
Very
this,
effective.
Coming from, we're supporting literal Nazis. Right. Exactly. I mean, we're going around calling people fascist and Nazis and saying that Putin is as bad as Hitler. Yet we are giving funds and arming Nazis to fight against people who have voted to separate from Ukraine.
Exactly. Right? Absolutely.
And the newest one that I just want to get this out, because we talked about it last week about the ICC's arrest warrant for Putin. I just wanted to follow up on that, because it was for trafficking children out of Ukraine into Russia. Well, I've been reading and trying to find more into this. Well, it turns out that those children were human shields being used by the Ukrainian military against the Russians. So the Russians were getting them out of a war zone, and they were in the Donbass region, which isn't a part of Ukraine as
propaganda.
Anyone that knows. So, I mean, it's so mind blowing that people it's the same delirious mentality they have with Trump is with Putin. It's orange man bad, red man bad. You know, these people are just, and there's no rationalizing with them. Hey, yeah, what they may be doing is not right, but what about what this side is doing? They're doing, you know, we're not reporting any of the Ukrainian war crimes, any of the hospitals or schools that they're using as bases or putting in close proximity to bases.
Matt,
because that idea lasted longer than a minute, so they already scrolled left, already swiped.
It wasn't Andrew's in the headline, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Andrew's stuck on this short attention span. But Matt, so what you're talking about, what's going on today, that we're not getting any of the context in our meeting, which I think is really bizarre that we haven't seen any of the war footage. I mean, we had embedded journalists giving us war footage going back to Vietnam, you know, the Iraq war. We saw everything that was going on. I mean, the Gulf War, not the Iraq War, the Gulf War. And then in Iraq, we had embedded journalists. We saw, you know, firefights that were going on in Fallujah. I haven't seen any of that.
Sam, you can watch every protest that's going on in France right now.
Good point.
You know, you go on to any news channel, you can watch all the footage of that, but we haven't seen more than a 5-second clip of Ukraine.
Nothing in Ukraine. And that's really bizarre.
Wag the dog.
any of the fighting that's going on there. I just think that that's bizarre. One thing that I wanted to correct something. Andrew and I did a podcast a few months ago, and I want to correct something that I told him that was wrong. You asked me point blank, Andrew, in 2013, when Obama was funding the FSA in Syria, which turned out to be that became ISIS, which came back in to Iraq and took over Mosul and all that. You asked me, was Obama funding the Nazis in Ukraine at the same time that he was funding what would become ISIS in Syria? FSA. And I said yes, but that's not true. Obama never sent weapons to Ukraine. And the reason why he wouldn't send weapons to Ukraine is because Democrats in the House of Representatives said that we don't want to fund Nazis. So they knew that they were Nazis. He did send. So Obama did send billions of dollars to Ukraine, and he did that to fund their pension program. So what people don't understand is when the coup happened in 2014, when Yanukovych had to leave Iraq, they needed to stable. I mean, Ukraine. When Yanukovych had to leave Ukraine, they needed to stabilize the country as soon as possible, so people did not put up a fight against the new government that had just established the coup. So what Obama did is he sent billions of dollars to Ukraine so they could fund their pension programs, so they could still pay their people their pension, so they wouldn't, you know, put up a fight against this new government who just established the coup. But he would not send them arms. No one, we didn't start sending arms to Ukraine until Trump came in. And but I think that it's really significant to understand why Obama would not send Ukraine arms. And it was because Democrats in the House of Representatives, what's his
didn't
name?
Want to fund Nazis.
They didn't want to fund Nazis.
And, so they're cool with it now?
So that's what makes it really strange that was the reason why they wouldn't send them weapons, is because they knew that they were Nazis and they didn't want to fund the Nazis. Ro Khanna was one of the Democrats who were against it. I forget the black congressman from Detroit, John Conyers. So he was a big part of it, and that was the reason why Obama didn't send them arms.
Yeah,
but he didn't send them money.
You guys might have seen this, but since you're talking about it, I love talking about these like logos and how these different things look. I was going to share something real quick. Mm-hmm. This is the Nazi SS logo, right? Mm-hmm. So we've all seen that. We know what that looks like. If you look at the Azov seal, dude, a lot of people think it's a line with like an N. It's literally just an SS backwards, dude. You see that? If you follow that, it's the same thing with the freaking black sun.
The black sun behind it too, yeah.
Yep. The black sun's a well-known Nazi symbol, and I just can't get over the SS.
And then it's look so down below, right at the bottom, the Khazarian thing. The trident
is from Khazarian military sigil.
Yep. Oh, it's a Khazarian sigil.
It's an ancient Khazarian sigil as well. Yep.
But yeah, it just blows my mind. It's the same thing, just flipped around, dude.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's the same thing. Inversion swastika to pervert that. You know they.
Well, that's what the black sun is. It's four swastikas broken up. Yeah,
they just took the swastika and turned it on an angle, and so now they could corrupt a symbol that was always known for peace and harmony, and now it's associated with, you know, hatred and racism and anti-Semitism and. That's another interesting
psychological one. Operations.
Well, I saw today in the news that now Mr. Robert Kraft, who, if anybody's not familiar, he's the owner of the Patriots. And in 2020, he was arrested in a Florida massage parlor for getting a hand job and on multiple occasions. And it was
right now.
Yeah, were the girls of age? And then it was thrown out of court because the videotape was obtained illegally. So he never claimed that it didn't happen. It's just the videotape was obtained illegally. Well, now today I see the fruits of his labor. He is now leading a anti-Semitism campaign to step up the awareness of anti-Semitism that's taking place in this world. So
were the girls of age in the massage situation, were they willing to do it? Because there's nothing wrong with a tuggy if it's a, if everyone involved.
They were Asian immigrants, but yes, they were of legal age. And
so, maybe, so long as there's consent, so long as there's consent.
The shitty part is they got arrested and they had to pay thousands of dollars in fines that they didn't have. And this guy is a billionaire and got off with nothing.
So that's what sucks is when those people are taking.
He just keeps going on and gets.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously the news wasn't put out there that well, or we just forgot about it because there's so much stuff going on. But yeah, man, that sucks, dude. It sucks when people get taken advantage of like that. But, you know, if everyone's a willing participant, I don't see anything wrong with that. But
no, I was going more along the lines of this is what they tend to do with these people. They shame them and then they have to come back and do their penance.
His penance is like you're saying is that he's so this accusation of anti-Semitism is just like the accusation of racism. It's a shield. So I've been most recently hearing people talk about if you criticize George Soros, then you are anti-Semitic. That is an anti-Semitic trope to criticize George Soros. And it's ridiculous because going back to Ukraine, I mean, what does George Soros have to do with Ukraine? People don't really. That's why I said if you go and ask the average normie who is rah-rah Ukraine, I have the Ukraine flag in my window and my profile. I'm rah-rah Ukraine. And you say, well, tell me about Euromaidan. What happened with Euromaidan? So in 2014, when the election happened and Yanukovych wins the election fair and square, all of these people rushed to Maidan to protest. Now, the reason that all of these people, the reason they had the organization to get all these people to mobilize to go to Maidan is because of Open Society. George Soros has been running Open Society in Ukraine. He's talked about it. He's bragged about it since the 1990s. So he created the organization to get everybody as soon as the election was over to rush to Maidan and to stay there and to protest. And much like what went on in 2020 here with Black Lives Matter, I went to a couple of Black Lives Matter protests here in Southern California. And I was so surprised. So during the daytime, all the Black Lives Matter activists, they show up and they're protesting, they're marching, they're peaceful. And I saw all of these supplies show up. We were kind of hanging in the back. Like cars would pull up with tons of water, tons of food, tons of, supplies, milk for your face. So if they start spraying the gas that the milk's supposed to, and they showed up with all these supplies. And I'm wondering myself, where's this stuff coming from? Well, it's coming from Open Society.
Ding, ding, ding.
George Soros is funding the peaceful revolution. So what would happen with Black Lives Matter in 2020? They would have peaceful revolution during the day and marching and with all the supplies. And as soon as the sun went down, Antifa would show up and then they would start doing the violence, looting the stores, setting the fires. This is exactly what happened in Ukraine in 2014. After the election, Open Society organized for all of the people to show up at Maidan, and they showed up at Maidan, and they were peaceful, well-supplied by Open Society to just sit there. They could eat and drink. And then when the Nazis showed up, when Red Sector showed up, then they're the ones who started the violence. They're the ones who made the coup happen where Yanukovych had to leave. There would have been no coup without the Nazi violence. So George Soros and Open Society, they funds the peaceful protests to go in there, and then they use the violence. It's the same playbook that they used here in 2020. And so if you criticize Minneapolis. So if you criticize George Soros, and I've heard many people saying this now, then you're an anti-Semite, that's tied to anti-Semitism. It's just the shield.
Well, that's
same thing with the Rothschilds.
Any white person that uses a black GIF is doing digital blackface.
I saw that CNN. Yeah.
Man.
That's pretty funny.
It is hilarious.
No, it's hilarious. If I were to do like the black pound sign,
That's digital blackface.
Oh, it makes me want to do it.
Someone's going to make NFTs out of that. That's what
everybody said. Everybody wants to use them now even more because it's just like, how stupid is that?
I hate the yellow hand. You know, it's like, dude, I don't have hepatitis. You know what I mean?
I'm not Asian.
I want to use the Justin Trudeau one. The famous Justin Trudeau in blackface.
The pregnant man. Oh, yeah.
That's the one I want.
I Dream of Jeannie.
That's the one I want to just keep sharing.
I've used... I'm not going to lie. I've used the pregnant man when I'm telling Kim that I got to take a big dump. I'll just send her the pregnant dude. And I'm like, hey, it's going down when I get home. You know, you gotta have some fun with this stuff, you know?
Give me 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then stay out of there for a few hours, you know? But no, dude, it's wild what some of this stuff is getting to, man. It's very, very interesting. Hey, Sam, what was your podcast, dude? I was looking for it right now.
So it's According to Sam with the number two. So all together, According to Sam.
I just wanted to listen to it just to check it out. I've checked out Andrew's stuff. I obviously checked out Matt's stuff too, but I wanted to make that clear that was what it was. I searched your name and I just didn't find it. So According to Sam, good to know.
Yeah, with the number two.
Cool, man.
You'll be able to find it.
Sweet.
All of these things, like the accusations of racism, the accusations of anti-Semitism, I mean, they're really, like, again, they're just shields. They're people to hide behind so you don't criticize what they're actually doing. And they have a lot of nefarious motives.
And we need to throw transphobic in there too now, Sam. That's another one. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like the Roman masquerade. A society is dying.
And it's funny because you don't, if you don't want to participate or play their little games, like I refuse to play the pronoun game. I just think it's the stupidest thing ever. It's like, now you're phobic. It's like, no, I'm just not playing in your stupid little charades. I'm not participating in this nonsense. Like you can do whatever you want. If you look like a woman to me, I will call you she, ma'am, whatever. If you look like a dude, sir, hey, you know, it is what it is. I can't play this. Well, he might want to be called they, them, but yeah.
Tough shit. People having legit anxiety attacks over like which pronouns they're supposed to use for somebody.
You know what I mean? Be offensive. You know?
Yeah, because then that's the worst thing you can be.
Well, especially in college now, Rye, right? I mean, that's like one of the worst things you can do is misgender or you know use the wrong pronoun on someone.
I guess in some I forget where it is, it's some middle of the country state, like I mean, I don't know if it's like the Bible, but I don't know exactly where it's at, but they canceled the school funded and school taught sex ed because one of the teachers was saying that there were 73 genders, and so the parents were like, okay, we want these kids to actually learn what's going on. And Ghost and I were talking about this today. There's a legit debate for whether schools should give sex ed or not. Like I can legitimately see both sides of it. Back when I was in school, the sex ed made sense because there was only two genders and it was pretty straightforward. Like it was like, hey, you know, they kind of actually.
But did it teach you anything, Rye? I think it was a big manipulation. I think it was just to pervert us. Like they
got
to
get in there and do it.
School gonna teach you about sex. Got to get in there and
learn for yourself. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got to learn for yourself. But no, it mostly scared us, dude. Like I thought that like they show so many pictures of like, you know, penises and vaginas with diseases. You know what I mean? And it just freaks you out.
Like it was every time you have sex, you're gonna get pregnant. You know?
Oh yeah, watching live births. On VHS.
That's part of the depopulation agenda. Don't procreate. Sex is scary.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what it was, is they scared us. But I could see if the schools weren't so messed up and if there wasn't this gender confusion, dysphoria, whatever we want to call it. I see why parents would want the school to learn it or the kids to learn it from the school rather.
Right.
Just because that's where you get information. Like in theory, you're supposed to get information from your school, but these schools are just losing their damn minds, man.
Yeah, I feel like a broken record, but the schools are doing exactly what they're set up to do right now.
Sure.
They are not set up to educate and better our children. They are set to indoctrinate and retard our children right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this was something that the Rockefeller Foundation set out to do in the early part of the 20th century. And the Rockefeller Foundation, along with John Dewey and others, really sought to create a education system that made people in this country more docile and more compliant, not more educated and critical thinkers. It's like the bit that George Carlin does. He's like, the last thing that these people want are critical thinking people who know how to process information. So that's
obedient workers.
Obedient workers is what they want. They are not
passive pupils
and in having intelligent critical thinkers. So this system has been devised, our public education system, for the last 100 years. And my sister-in-law and brother are creating a private school in with their church in my hometown, and they've been doing a lot of research. And what she told me when I was home for Christmas is that she's learning with her research that the Gates Foundation has now picked up the mantle from the Rockefeller Foundation, and they're invested in everything having to do with public education. Bill Gates is an evil man.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that. I was going to ask you your thoughts on him, because I was going to say exactly that. It seems like he's taken the torch from the Rockefellers,
because
he's
Rockefeller
the one
Foundation.
Responsible for all these standardized tests. Yeah.
And
all
the bricks.
Yeah, the No Child Left Behind bullshit that has just totally destroyed our
education. He didn't want us eating meat or anything. You know, he's like, he's really involved. He's got if you go back and you look at Nelson Rockefeller and the, you know, early part of the 21st century, he had a God complex. And you look at Bill Gates, he seems to have a God complex as well.
Well, same thing, right? Medicine, education, yeah,
all of it,
transportation, everything he's involved in, you know, and Gates bought all that, what, you know, farmland and everything. And that's what these people are, megalomaniacs. And everybody's like, oh yeah, he's in it for, you know, humanity. No, he's in it for the profits. If it has no profits, because you saw him flip-flop on the vax. Once he saw that it wasn't going to be profitable anymore, he's like, yeah, well, basically the disease affected old people and people with comorbidities. Like, wait a second. Hold on. The whole time you were telling us that this was a lifesaver, and now you're going to tell us that it doesn't really do what it was supposed to do. And, you know, we probably
wanted more death. God damn it.
Yeah. So it seems like on to the next one. And I'm wondering what the next one is right now. It's just
air.
You want to hear
charging for air.
Want to hear a crazy conspiracy theory about that?
Let's hear it.
So somebody told me that whatever's in these mRNA vaccines, it's supposed to be weakening your immune systems. And when they release the next thing on us, we're fucked. That's conspiracy theory.
Well, it's definitely the mRNA definitely weakens your immune system. That's a fact.
The VADs, right?
That's
vaccine deficiency. Yeah, that's a real thing.
That's what it is.
If that's what they actually roll out, now you can claim it's a new pandemic. Oh, yeah. People are dying like flies. I wonder why. Oh, there's this new strain of COVID, when really they probably died from the common cold, because their immune systems are so AIDS level fucked that,
for sure.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Scary.
You know, it seems like the Rockefellers owned, all cultural influence, right? And the Rothschilds were more on the financial end. And it seems like definitely like you say, like the Gates Foundation, Mark Zuckerberg, I know, is kind of affiliated with that. There's a lot of Rockefeller cronies out there, the Bushes, the Soroses, all these people, right? So it seems like definitely the Gates Foundation is taking over that cultural influence, because they messed with music, right? Mm-hmm. The Rockefellers, music, food, like you said, transportation through
science,
the Ford Endowment.
Doctors, medicine, right? They changed this from the naturopathic way to allopathic medicine.
Well, dude, and speaking of food,
petroleum-based, right?
And to get back, and yeah, petroleum-based is a huge part back then. Now they're getting away from the petroleum just for powering our cars. It seems like that's still going to be in your medicine and all that other stuff, and your clothes and everything else. But going back to the transhumanism thing just a little bit, there's this concept of farming spelt with a PH, and that is something that Bill Gates is legitimately doing right now, where they're introducing the vaccines to your fucking vegetables, dude.
Come on.
Like, it's wild. Do you not think that's real, Matt?
Oh no, I absolutely believe it. I mean, I can see them doing that. That I'm just like, come on. I'm like, our food is already poisoned as is. You
know, and think about too what they just passed with the Medicare thing. Medicare recipients can now use their Medicare monthly Medicare money for food now because your drugs are going to be in your food.
Oh man,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, and you're not much like what they put out there today. They're not going to be open about what is in there. You know, it's like the whole eggs conspiracy, you know, the whole free range versus cage free and all that bullshit. It's like, it's just
Codex Alimentarius too. That's what that reminds me of, the food standard UN protocols that every member nation has to abide by. And they're basically taking nutrients out and
putting Monsanto products, right?
Yeah.
Very Snowpiercer-esque.
Hey, great movie.
Watch that movie. That's that's a trip. No, I haven't seen
it. It's good.
Yeah, oh, well, you absolutely have to watch it. The premise of it is the world is like in a global freeze, and there's a train that's just going around the world, and it's running, and those are the only people alive, and the elite are in the front of the train.
Oh, yeah.
Living comfortably, I've
seen that.
Eating, and then the rest of us are in the back, packed like cattle, eating this like bug-based food, and
The train like has a shield that collects like all the bugs that hit the wall of the train fall into this thing, and they make like protein bars out of it, and that's all that the poor people eat. But then there's like sushi that the rich people eat up front, and like there's like cattle.
I was just gonna say that it's a predictive programming for sure. Damn. Again, more of
big
it.
Time. It's a great movie though.
And what's it called again? Check it.
Snowpiercer.
Yeah, check that out.
Okay. You got Captain America in that. Chris Evans.
Yep.
Yeah. Phenomenal. I mean,
another one of those, you know, post-apocalyptic, like you said, predictive programming. We'll give you a little bit of truth in here. And because the other thing is how does the train must have an engine that just can go with perpetual motion because it doesn't have to refuel or anything.
They mentioned that in the beginning when they're describing how it works. And it is essentially like, it sounds like Tesla technology of like some
free
kind.
Free energy.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. Another good movie, dude, that I've mentioned a couple times, not that we're going to get into movies now, but there's the new M. Night Shyamalan one, dude. It's great. Knock at the Cabin. Mm. Phenomenal movie, dude. It's got a QAnon vibe to it. Really, really good.
Check that out. Yeah.
About the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
So speaking of QAnon, I have a buddy of mine that's been getting in this whole adrenochrome stuff, and he's been talking to me about it. And what do you guys think about this whole idea of adrenochrome?
Adrenochrome is definitely real. There's like a chemical compound of it. I just don't know how real that is. I mean, you hear that like the whole royal family has like pyphoria, I think it's called, where they have this rare blood disease, and it's probably from all the inbreeding. But like they literally have like the slang for pyphoria is a vampire's disease. Like you're very, very short on iron, and it's almost like they need to drink blood. Like there's no proof that they do, like on paper. Mm-hmm. But also Biden happens to suffer from this, and like a lot of other elites have this thing called pyphoria.
I was telling him that, okay, so the whole idea, even when Pizzagate was the thing, that didn't just come from anywhere and some people just pulled it out of their butt, you know, that Pizzagate. This came from John Podesta's emails that were basically spearfished and were given to WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks, released these emails. And in John Podesta's emails, he's talking about pizza parties and how many pizzas and hot dogs you're gonna
at the Rothschild kids pizza place, right? Exactly. Wasn't the kid a Rothschild
too? James Alephantis.
So it wasn't just that people just pulled this out of the air. I mean, this came from Podesta's emails that they were alluding to the fact that there was something going on with kids and child trafficking.
Yeah, if you look at James Alephantis' old Instagram too, there's like literally pictures of kids like tied up on tables and they're smiling.
Jesus.
And the whole idea behind it is that, you know, you have to scare the kids to increase the
adrenochrome. That's what I've heard too.
And then, you know, and I don't know. I mean, if it does what it says it does, look at Hollywood. There's how come some of these people never age? Now, granted, there are masks and body suits that are off the charts these days there's plastic surgery. I get that. But some of these guys, it's like you wonder, how do they stay so young and how do they keep doing it? And now I don't know if all these people are drinking baby blood or have baby factories or anything like that. But man, it is a wild concept that I never even heard anything about until like 2 or 3 years ago.
For sure.
So, I find it, it interesting that in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, they talk about it. It's almost, I always wondered if that was a predictive programming thing. Just real quick, just going to throw this in there in the bag of drugs and goodies that he has, you know?
Well, yep. Hunter Thompson was all about all that weird shit. Know what I mean? Like, he seems like the guy, and I don't want to like just throw like slander out because he's very talented and stuff. He seems like the dude that was all about experiences. And he would try anything one time, like anything one time. You know what I mean? It seems like. So from what I've learned about him and stuff. But yeah, man, a very interesting dude for sure. And that's a wild concept.
And I'm with you, Sam. Sometimes I wonder where these things come from, right? Where are they based in reality, or are these CIA things that are thrown out there?
Yeah.
To make us look crazy, you know, because hey, they could have some cocktail that they drink to help them, you know, live a little longer. I mean, Christ, look at Kissinger. How is that thing still alive? He's still rolling around at nearly 100.
And the other thing too, it could be, you know, partially true, and then disinformation added in to kind of discredit the true part, you know, just some crazy, you know, outlandish stuff that part of it is true. Maybe there is, you know, I mean, child trafficking and human trafficking. I mean, I know that that's going on. That's a huge deal. Do I believe that, I mean, some elite people were involved? Well, I don't have Jeffrey Epstein's client list, so I have no idea, you know, who is involved with some of this stuff. But yeah, I believe that some elite people in the United States could be involved with child trafficking and some predatory behavior. Maybe they're not drinking kids' blood. Maybe they're just having sex with them or something like
that. Dennis Hastert.
Exactly. You
know, pick a name. Go look. I mean, it's not like this doesn't happen in reality in the papers. You see these congressmen, senators, they're getting busted all the time for, you know, prostitutes and underage and, you know, pictures and shit like this. So
exactly. And then why don't we have Jeffrey Epstein's client list? Yeah. I
mean, because we're shooting down alien UFOs constantly these days. Well, that's why
we have two convictions, right? For a crime, but no clients.
Yeah. No clients
either. Like,
how's that happen?
Not only that, the ABC reporter who came out, remember the Project Veritas tape that was released to him with her when she thought the camera was off? She's like, I had the whole story. I had Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I had everyone. And they killed, and ABC killed the story. And then they end up firing the person who leaked that video to Project
Veritas.
Too close.
Yep.
So there's something going on.
Back to what you were talking about too with the congressman, like with the proof of this stuff, the whole story with Johnny Gosch, right? And like the whole like Nebraska trafficking thing. And what was that like rising Republican star? He's got the same name as that guy that was slumped over with the TV show Larry something. You know who I'm talking about? He was on CBS or PBS maybe. Old dude. He was in the roast of Donald Trump. I don't know if you guys watched that. Pretty funny. Larry King, yes. There's a guy named Lawrence King that was a rising Republican star that was connected to all that Johnny Gosch stuff. And there was like some pretty, like, this was back before conspiracies were just nuts all over the place. Where I think in the 80s, I want to say, where they were saying like, yeah, like the Bush White House had, you know, boys coming through there and
the scandal.
The Franklin scandal is what. Yeah, that's the Nebraska thing, right? So. It's just wild, dude. There's proof out there, but
have you guys seen that thing with Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, and it's like they're on a game show, and I can't remember what game show it is, but they're like the question was, what is, you know, like Chelsea's supposed to answer like what her mom would do, right? And it's like, what do you think your mom does way too much of? And she goes, she eats way too much pizza.
Wow.
Yeah. And then like the follow-up question is something along the lines where it's flipped. where they're like, you know, what is something about Chelsea? And she's like, oh, she'd probably say that I need to clean up all my pizza that I eat around the house, or like, and it's like they're literally feeding this. If I mean, either she's using it as that word in that moment on this game show, or maybe it's a fabricated video. I don't know. I just saw it on the social media and I thought it was interesting to say.
Well, I think that it is absolutely fascinating when you look at the October surprises for the 2016 election.
Oh, yeah.
And then also the 2020 election. The 2016 election, and they both have to deal with laptops. The 2016 election, Anthony Weiner. Is married to Hillary Clinton's, you know, right-hand girl. He's got a laptop that he's using to sex underage girls that the NYPD sees. He's got all of this, like, really deviant stuff all over this laptop. And that's why most people don't really even understand when James Comey had to reopen this investigation into Hillary Clinton the week before the 2016 election. It's because of this Anthony Weiner laptop that he's using to sex underage girls. And it's got all of this deviant. It's not only got, you know, emails that Hillary Clinton deleted and told us that she didn't have were on this laptop, but also all of this, you know, deviant stuff with him sexting underage girls. And then you jump fast forward to 2020, and then another laptop, this time from Hunter Biden, who leaves this laptop with, you know, the computer repair guy. And then you find this thing and you look at it, and it's got all of this deviant stuff on it. But they learned their lesson from 2016, and they didn't let this out. That's why the entire intelligence community got together and they conspired to say that this was Russian disinformation in 2020 and that the laptop wasn't real. And I mean, hugely significant in my
opinion. There's no way Biden wins if that comes out.
That's I don't think so.
That would have happened to Hillary.
I don't think so, Matt.
And on that, and on that topic, Sam, isn't Pelosi's kid and
she's nuts.
Mitt Romney's kid also employees of oil companies and
tied to Ukraine
or like in they're Ukraine. All these American politicians' kids are working in Ukraine. What the fuck is going on in Ukraine?
There's something going on in Ukraine that we don't know. I'm telling you.
It's because it's one of the most corrupt countries.
Money laundering.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, why did they try to impeach Trump over something that Biden admitted to on camera and nothing was ever even mentioned about Biden? I mean, he said, you're not getting that $1 billion unless the prosecutor's fired.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. He was fired by the time I left.
Exactly. But if you really look into that first impeachment of Trump, and listen to the transcript and the phone call and all of that. So Trump, he's asking Zelensky about the servers, because so that was the narrative in 2016, was that Russia hacked the DNC servers. But the FBI, the DNC never turned these servers over to the FBI to do a forensic investigation of who actually hacked these servers. What they gave the FBI was an imagery of the servers, and that's what the FBI looked at. But a private company, CrowdStrike, was who the DNC commissioned to do the forensic investigation of these servers, and CrowdStrike is a Ukrainian company. It's owned by a Russian guy. He's partial owner, Dmitry, I forget his last name, but he owns CrowdStrike. So when if you listen to the transcript, when Trump is talking to Zelensky, he's saying that we want to know where these servers are, the DNC servers, because we want to look at them. We want to do our own forensic investigation, because the only people who actually looked at the servers were CrowdStrike. So that's what Trump is talking about in the conversation when they say that he is doing the quid pro quo. They try to make it about Biden, which is later in the conversation, but there was no quid pro quo. It had to do with these servers and him trying to get Zelensky to help him find the servers, which for some reason Trump believed that these servers were taken to Ukraine.
Yep.
Yeah. One thing that shouldn't be forgotten about that 2016 October surprise too is like all those NYPD cops that died after they were talking about that Wiener laptop. That's very, exactly. very exactly. Important. Because yeah, those people were trying to do the right thing, man. Similar to like the Oklahoma, you know, cops that were involved in the whole Oklahoma City bombing.
Well, the one thing, Oklahoma right? City cop that was, yeah. Murdered.
He killed himself, and he really wanted to feel it when he killed himself. You know what
he
I mean?
Dragged not
to
make light of it, but he field. Yeah,
yeah. They call that, to tie, yeah.
They call that arc inside.
Yeah, yeah, man. Freaking just wild that body count those two have, but
arc inside is.
Well,
what
it's funny you say that with Oklahoma City because they just put out Netflix just did another Waco documentary.
Oh wow!
I don't know what's going on, but that's like the third one in the last 5 years.
Well, that was Trump's first rally coming back for 2023 was in Waco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's in that's just a crazy story.
Why are they bringing up old shit? I thought we were past this.
What happened in Waco was a bunch of people that were trying to be independent of the system, right? And then they got fucked. So I mean, is that like low level kind of telling you
it's like cops
putting it in your mind subconsciously boys, like don't boys. Go out there and be independent. You know, stay in our system and you'll be fine if you try
exactly.
to
exactly like the cop show like the message is like Bill Hicks talked about that the message is state power will win we yep. will kick in your door we will stomp on your face watch cops watch us arresting all these people
right know? right yeah.
That's why I feel like Demolition Man is the biggest predictive programmer for us because I think that lays out what they want the system where there's no human contact everything's essentially virtual. You
music's
know,
music is jingles for commercials.
Yep. Yep, it's all mind control and everything. And then you have the truthers that live in the sewers. You know, they live underground like rats. Like
mole
rats,
people.
Plague that they are yeah. to our perfect society.
Mm.
It's and kind I of think the same. That, it's kind of the same thing in the Matrix too. The Zion people that yep. Were in Zion were separated from the Matrix, and even though it wasn't the most glamorous life, it was real.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
How do you use the three seashells?
I still
remember that from Demolition Man.
Yeah, I can't figure that out.
They never explain that.
And that's when he goes up the machine and just starts cursing at it and gets all the paper and he's like, I don't need your shells anymore.
That's as big of a mystery as like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction, right? Like the briefcase of souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Marcellus Wallace's soul is supposed to be removed through the back of his neck. That's why he's got the Band-Aid on. I've heard that.
Yeah, that's the comic book kind of explains that a little bit. Yeah, man. Wow. What a great movie, dude. We mentioned some great movies.
Classic.
One final thing that I'll tell you all that you need to watch, because you mentioned Kissinger. In that one season, it's like one of the later seasons of American Horror Story. It's a two-parter, and the first part of it is all about adrenochrome. Right. It's literally about adrenochrome. This guy, this struggling writer, is just like hitting writer's block. He can't figure out how to write his damn book. And he's in Cape Cod where like there's all kinds of meth addict zombie vampire things. And he ends up realizing when he drinks some blood or eats a person, he can just write like Stephen King. Like he just writes like insane. And then the second part of it is like just conspiracy galore, dude. They show Henry Kissinger and like when everyone else walks away, his second eyelids pop out and he's a reptilian basically, right?
What? That's
always, dude, it's nuts. It's freaking insane. It's like the whole thing with like JFK and Eisenhower and all this stuff where they're kind of like discovering the alien connection, like the Greata treaties mentioned, and it's just nuts, dude. Like this was back when conspiracies were really catching on to the mainstream and everyone was hopping on board.
So let me offer this idea, because that's I've thought about this recently. Are all of these, you know, ideas that we arrive at through research and learning about this and that, how things connect, is sometimes I wonder if we're being programmed by the AI with all of that information that we think we're actually finding truthful nuggets of reality, but maybe they're already predetermined by the AI consciousness. Have you guys ever taken it that deep of thought experiment?
Probably
before?
Partially, like, but there's some, you know, people that really actively go out and look for wild information, right? Like, I don't think that AI could predict all of that, but when something's, you know, passes through your Instagram or your TikTok reel or whatever, maybe that's kind of meant to be there.
Yeah, just sometimes I wonder, like, I mean, you really, really, really have to put in hours of work and research, like reading physical books, not just consuming everything digitally, to really know what was back in the day, you know? And
yeah, I agree, because I think AI will push you in a certain direction, you know, between whether you're doing a Google search or you're doing or the algorithms, they're going to push you in a certain way and they're going to show you what they want you to see. Now, if you're savvy enough, you can dig past the initial layer of bullshit and get down to the next layer. But I still feel like there's more that we can't even access. You know, yeah. There's information out there, you know, I mean, between the Vatican archives and things like that, that are very crucial to the who, what, when, where, and why of where we are right now, that we are not told. And instead, we're indoctrinated with this narrative.
Yeah. And I'm told that if you don't browse the internet using browsers, if you have a VPN and you can go through different channels, apparently there's a whole bunch of internet out there that most people have never seen because they're only using Google, DuckDuckGo, Bing, whatever. But apparently you can browse a whole bunch of different internet if you know how to do it. I don't know the technology of it, but I've just heard that it's possible. So,
well, there's the dark web, which is a whole nother web.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't really want to go there unless you're ready for it.
But ICANN allows all that stuff to be out there, that ICANN that runs the internet through the authority of the internet. They allow everything that's on the internet. They allow it up one way or another, which supposedly. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, a lot of it just has to do with being interested and going and looking, because I know for a fact that because I consume a lot of European news like BBC and even like some French and Indian outlets. And I know that even just getting outside of the United States gives you a whole different point of view on what's going on in the world and history. It seems like in this country, the propaganda and the news and the media that we're fed is totally different from what's going on in the rest of the world. And I think that a lot of it has to do with that. I don't think that a European consumer would tolerate being fed what we're being fed. You know what I mean? I think that they're a little bit more savvy when it comes to what they consume. And if they were being fed the same nonsense that we were being fed, I don't think they would tolerate it.
Yeah.
You get some people that say, well, you know, at least in China, they know they're being fed bullshit. Here, people think they're being fed, you know, they know the government's lying to them. Here, we still think they're telling us the truth.
I think that people here, they really get into their confirmation bias. They only want to consume opinions that fit opinions that they already have. And
Sam, I do a lot in the alternate history realm, and that's all it is. For I would say 95% of the people that do alternate history research find something, hitch their wagon to it, and will only go down that lane. You can present them with other material outside that contradicts what they're saying, and they will just blindly ignore it.
Yeah.
It crushes that paradigm that they're on, or that, you know, that narrative that they're rolling with. And I'm like, you guys are doing the same thing that they're doing to us. Why would you not look at everything? And like Andrew said, one of the biggest things you have to do is go get books, you know, whether it's, you know, whether it's a physical book or go get the PDFs from the 1800s books, because that's where you're going to find a lot of the truth in there before they really started doing the whitewashing of the books and the information that comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. Memory holding.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? Sam and I talk about the book Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley quite a bit. Do you know that the original like metal printing press, like whatever molds that they had of that book, were stolen magically or disappeared and they could never figure it out? So there's actually parts of Tragedy and Hope that were written that nobody ever saw it because somebody bought the publishing house that was printing it and then destroyed it. Yeah.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Yeah. None of that book. We
very telling.
Was supposed to be consumed.
Read.
Yeah.
By the mass public. And he says
was he Clinton's mentor?
Mm-hmm.
He is a teacher at
Georgetown.
Georgetown University, a professor of history, I think, that Clinton took at Georgetown. That's where Clinton did his undergrad at Georgetown, which is a Jesuit university.
Jesuit college.
Which I always have to say that. And that's where Clinton took his class. And then after Clinton graduated from Georgetown, he went to England and Oxford and became a Rhodes Scholar.
That's what we meet. Hillary at Georgetown. That's what blew my mind in the 80s was how Georgetown had this dominant basketball program as this small white Jesuit school, but it had an all-black program with a black coach that was one of the most controversial. Great
colleges. Gonzaga, I think, what's Xavier University always is there and has a good basketball. I mean, the Jesuit schools have great basketball programs.
Pennsylvania schools, are they any good? Because those are big Jesuit schools too.
Well, they used to have Temple, which was UMass's big rival back in the day. Temple was had another very, controversial black coach also, John Chaney.
There's 40 Jesuit colleges in the United States. They make up the Jesuit 40. And one very interesting one is Santa Clara College in California, and that's the college that Gavin Newsom went to. That's the college that Nancy Pelosi went to. John Panetta went to Santa Clara. I like to find out where all these guys, like John Brennan. John Brennan went to Fordham University. Fordham University is another Jesuit school. So I think it's interesting to see all these guys that went to these Jesuit schools.
And if they're not Jesuit, they're usually Ivy League, which is, you know, Jesuit sub, you know, the next level below.
That's the WASP version of a Jesuit, right? The WASP,
basically,
like the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Yeah.
Hey, Sam, remember when I was telling you Paul Giamatti was Skull and Bones?
Yeah, I remember.
Guess who else I just found out was Skull and Bones? You guys know who Robert Reich is?
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Robert Reich is Skull and Bones, New Haven, Connecticut. I just figured that out the other day.
Now, who's he?
Explains. He's a super left-wing pundit that used to be on, I can't remember, Carter, Clinton, maybe administration. I forget when. But he's his social media, in my opinion, is very similar to Bernie Sanders. It's just regurgitated talking points that are absolutely devoid of logic and rational thought that are just intended to push an agenda. And it reminds me of who's the guy that Buckley, William F. Buckley, had the show and he founded that magazine, National Review, National I think Review. It was called. Yeah, guess what? Bonesman. All these guys are fraternity buddies with John Kerry and George W. So very interesting. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
No, it is interesting. I mean, the precursor to the Republican Party was both the Whig Party, but also the anti-Masonic Party. And a lot of people don't know this, but before there was a Republican Party, there was the anti-Masonic Party and the Whig Party. And the anti-Masonic Party actually had a convention, I think, in the 1850s, where all of these people who they saw the Freemasons as this group. I think there's this quote from what's the congressman's name from Pennsylvania? He was the speaker during the Civil War, I think. I don't remember his name. Anyway, but he's there at the convention that the anti-Masonic party has, and he says, you know, look at all the judges, look at all the state buildings. He's like, all of them are in this same fraternity. So there's got to be something going on, some kind of conspiracy where all the members of the same fraternity are in all of these positions of high profit and, you know, prestige.
Yeah. And so, I always found it interesting that there's a Masonic lodge and literally every tiny, dinky little 2000 population person town across this entire country.
Yeah.
Every single one of them has a Masonic lodge. Quite interesting.
We got a couple here.
their iconography is everywhere, all over. I mean, if you go to Washington, D.C., you just see, I mean, everything is Masonic iconography. You look at the back of a dollar bill, you know, look at the Great Seal and everything.
Every baseball diamond.
Yeah. So so there's got to be, you know, something there that is behind the veil that is not. And that's what the occult means. The occult, it just means hidden, that it's hidden some kind of hidden knowledge or hidden stuff that these people all see themselves joined together in. And it's a big club and we're not in it.
Maybe that whole adrenochrome thing is one portion of that occulted hidden knowledge, secret knowledge that maybe just got rationed out a little bit with a bunch of, RFK is going to be resurrected from the dead. He's going to come back and save the country. You know, you just put a little truth in with a little bullshit, make a video.
And yeah, there's levels to it. Discredit
him. Yeah. Don and Trump 2024.
Yeah. I can't.
Gentlemen, hey, this has been outstanding. I appreciate your time. I want to have you guys let everybody know where they can find you. And thank you so much. This was a great conversation. We'll definitely have to do this again sometime.
For sure. For sure.
Sam, we'll start with you, brother.
So I do my podcast on Tuesday night, and then it's usually up on Tuesday night and most definitely up Wednesday morning. And you can visit my website. That's According to Sam with the number 2.com. You can find me on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, on SoundCloud, all by doing the search for According to Sam with the number 2. And you can follow me on Twitter as well. My handle there is According to with the number 2_Sam.
Oh, thank you, sir. And everybody, go check out that show. You will not regret it. It is one of the base shows everybody should listen for politics. That's for sure. So I second you do great that. Work, my friend.
Thank you.
Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me back, guys. It's been a long time, been a while. Ryan, loved your recent episode about the big five media companies. I think I shared that. I saw that you saw that. So
yeah, thanks, man.
Want to give you a shout out on that one. I really like that show. Matt, love your show. All your old world stuff is, dude, it's so fascinating. And Sam, good to see you again, brother. I haven't talked to you in a while. And maybe we'll meet back here on the Master Debaters in the future.
What's your t-shirt, by the way? I can only see the top of it. Oh, that's beautiful.
We are anonymous. Nice. We are Legion. Expect us.
That's great. Ryan, what do you it's got going old. On, my friends?
Oh, just the same old stuff, man. Just cranking out stuff that I find interesting. Going to get more into some of the weird stuff just because I've been staring at this, like, you know, secret society, government, corruption shit for too long. And you get cynical. I've been very cynical lately. I agree. So, right? So I'm going to get into some genie stuff, like some paranormal stuff. Yeah, dude, just for a little bit. If people don't like it, I'll go back to the dark shit, but I like some of this fun stuff, man. Like, this was a great conversation. First time meeting Sam. It was a great pleasure to meet you, dude. And nice to meet you too. Yeah, man, it was a fun chat. Andrew, always a pleasure, dude. I like the whole vibe that you bring to a show, dude. And then Matt, every single week, it's a great time. So I appreciate these Mondays. They're always a blast, man. What about you? What do you got going on?
Not a whole lot. I took a week off for my son's birthday, so I'm just getting, this is the first time I'm getting back into it. We had birthday week last week and then his party yesterday, so I can finally breathe after dealing with that. So
there you go.
Dealing with a group of, what is it, about 20 normal, very normal people, and trying to, you know, navigate and not hurt anyone's feelings. And it's just I don't do well. What's that?
I said, good luck. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Tougher. That's why I don't socialize with many people, because it's like.
So yeah, I see you wearing an Alabama hat. Did you watch San Diego State beat up Alabama last week?
Sam, I got my ass handed to me this weekend between Alabama and the UFC fights. Oh, I did. I was just awful, man.
Are you able to bet now?
Right. What's that?
Are you able to bet now?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you gotta do the picks with us, man, and see, you know, with the UFC where you're gonna go with those, man, because it's fun. Okay.
Yeah, no, I did it. I did the two I was telling you about. I went against Holly just because of the Russian, and then she was terrible. as expected.
She's so bad, dude.
And then Cheeto got beat up pretty good too. So I was like, oh,
yeah.
Hey, but, you know, yeah. You can bet. Hey, you know, you can bet on WWE on DraftKings now, right?
No, only two states.
Oh, two states. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so disappointed because I saw that and I was like, yes, dude, I'm going to be rich. Because that's gotta, my, I was that's gonna my say, bread and butter, man. I got it on right now in the background.
I was going to say, Matt, we got to do that pro wrestling episode where we talk about it.
Oh, I'm in. You, I want to. I definitely.
You know, I'm an old school nerd with WWE and all that shit, too. I love all that
shit. We will definitely do that. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Everyone, have a great night. Stay strong.
All right, you too.
Question everything.
Right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second. We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. "Why?" He said, "I don't know." "Like, we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." And by that time, we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that. This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.